know Jesus intimately, to get to this place of glory, we're told, it's going to require suffering. To really understand what God is all about, it's from a place of suffering. It's where we will get our understanding of who he actually is. Success, we're told, always comes with a price, aren't we? To have something worthwhile costs us. Anyone who's ever had success has always paid the price. There was a story I read of a doctor who was really at the top of his profession. Someone asked him, how did you get there? How did you get into that place? He said these words, it was a struggle. No one had ever seen the tests that I had failed. They don't see me struggle in med school. All they see is what they see now. He said, but it isn't the whole story. And we want to know what's happened to how you got there. We only ever see the end result, but we never see the cost of getting there. You see, to see the start of something, we get to read between the lines in many ways, and the story will only make sense by how it ends. Isn't that right? When you watch a movie, when you read a book, how it ends tells the whole story. And Good Friday, we know, wasn't the whole story. They would take him. They would beat him. They would whip him. They'd put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, thorns on his head. But it does not tell the whole story. Easter Sunday morning, let me say this. The enemy might think to have you beaten this morning. It's what was happening in the story. The voices may say in your head that you are beaten. You're not worthy. You're not worthy of anything this morning. But it's not the whole story. It's not the end of the story. This morning you might be getting tested in whatever area of your life. You might be struggling. You can't see a way forward. Let me remind you this morning. It's not the end of the story. You might feel test after test. No one sees what's going on. But listen, it's not the end of the story this morning. It was interesting that disciples could only see what they witnessed. They could never understand or see the bigger picture, we're told. The bigger picture that Jesus would come, that God would come to experience what we experience, to share in our suffering. Jesus would come to be like you and me. He would experience death. And he would experience suffering just like we do. In his death, we're told, Jesus would be just like you and me. Through the cross this morning, to know our humanity, to know what we experience, to encounter death, to experience fear, and even uncertainty. But Jesus knew the whole story, didn't he? In the garden, we're told, we only see the moment, don't we? We only see where Jesus gets down. We only see the moment in the garden. But Jesus knew the outcome. He knew he would die. He knew he would rise. After clearing the temple courts, what does Jesus say when he was asked the question? They said, what sign can you show us to prove your authority? Jesus says to them, destroy this temple in what, 3 days, and I will rise it again. And maybe you, like me this morning, you need to, what would I say, to know where the story's going. Jesus knows the story this morning. He knows your story and he knows my story. And if you need encouragement this morning, Easter Sunday, it reminds us of nothing else. That Friday had to come for Sunday to happen. Jesus knows the whole story. He knows the beginning from the end. Yet he still had to journey through suffering. His disciples would fall asleep, but he knew the beginning from the end. His disciples were anxious, but Jesus knew the end. They were torn by fear, but Jesus knew what lay ahead. Good Friday would not be the end. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus would fall to his knees. It says he withdrew a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and prayed. He said these words, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. You see, Jesus knew the beginning from the end. Do you ever wonder why he said those words, knowing the whole story? Do you ever wonder why Jesus would say, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will be yours? Knowing the whole story, knowing that he would die and knowing that he would rise and sit at the Father's right hand side, do you ever wonder why he done that? Here's maybe why. Maybe he felt our pain. Maybe he experienced loneliness. Maybe he felt alienated. Maybe he experienced uncertainty. Jesus, knowing the whole story, Jesus, knowing the beginning from the end, prayed. The more he experienced, the more he felt, the more he prayed. Never give up praying this morning. If there's anything I can say to you, never give up coming to God in prayer. Jesus knows the beginning from the end, but he still had to pray through suffering. It's Easter Sunday, and if there's ever a time to draw near, it's today. Today is the time to come to the one who knows the whole story. Come to the one who feels our pain, even death on a cross, we're told. Jesus knows the whole story this morning. Jesus understands this morning. And Paul would say, as we had in our opening lines this morning, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participate, he says, in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. He says, I want to know this Jesus more. I want to know more about his death. I want to know more about his sufferings and his resurrection, we're told.
Our second reading is about the burial. Luke 23:50-56. Now behold, there was a council member, a good man and just a man. He had not consented to their decision and did. He was from a city of Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, laid it in a tomb where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near.
There's always silence at a burial. Quietness follows death. It's over. The shaking has stopped. The earthquake has resided. The voices have gone quiet. The veil is torn in two, and the darkness has lifted. Death doesn't speak. It doesn't have anything to say. We've all gone to funerals. We have stood at the gravesides, and silence dominates those moments. Those silent moments speak the loudest. A few days before we seen Jesus crucified, we had seen the crowds, we'd seen the mourning, we'd seen the weeping, and we'd seen the screaming. Thunder would shake the air, the ground would rumble, the curtains were tearing, but now there's silence. My Father, why have you forsaken me? Words speaking in silence. In many ways, God hiding in the silence. God always hides in ways where we must find him. He hides that we must search. He hides that we must ask. He hides that we must trust. He hides that we must knock and even accept. Where death is, there's always uncertainty. And sometimes God hides. And just because we can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. Just because God goes silent doesn't mean he can't be heard. But this time, in our reading, God has gone missing. Have you ever felt, God, where are you? I love how this is put. Buried in a rock. It's the first time the burial ground has ever seen a king like this. The king has come to the burial ground. Why? So when we invoke his name, it wouldn't have power just above the ground, but power below the ground and on the earth. The name of Jesus in the earth, below the earth, and on the earth. There is power this morning in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus where every knee shall bow. In things off heaven, in things on earth, and things in the earth. There is power this morning in the name that is above all names this morning. There is power in the name of Jesus this morning. You see, it's a distant memory. The feeding of the 5,000. The woman with the issue of blood was a moment in time. Remember Lazarus? Remember the resurrection of Lazarus? It's gone. The blind and the crippled were told. Those who are lost. Those who were forgotten. All once had a hope. All once had an answer. But now Jesus is in a tomb. How's your faith when God hides? How's your faith when God hides? What's your trust like when he goes silent? What kind of disciple are you when he doesn't answer? Do we love God this morning for what he can do for us? To know him when I can feel him, yes. To want him when he's close, definitely. To have faith when he is working in my life, absolutely. We praise him in the good times. But what about those silent times? How's your faith this morning? See, trusting him in the silence. To believe in him when he's hidden. To follow him when he gets buried. Wasn't it Jesus that turned the water into wine? Didn't Jesus heal the lepers? Wasn't it him that cast out the unclean spirits? Wasn't it Jesus that made the blind to see? What has gone wrong? To love him when he can do for us. To follow him when we can see the miracles. To want him when he pulls through for you and for me. To love God only when he can do for us this morning. And we need to ask a question sometimes. Do you love him when he's hidden? Do you love him when he's silent? Can you serve him when things just don't make sense? Someone once said this. It's an amazing statement that God hides life in death. See, the scriptures warned us, didn't they? It showed us one day he would come, one day he would die. Every verse we read brings us to this point in our story. Brings us to this moment in time. That the story is not finished. That death would not be the end. That there is life after death. God might have gone silent, but sometimes he hides. What do we learn in that? We learn that they waited. We were talking about this earlier. God's timing is perfect. He's never late and he's never early. His timing is always on time. They waited on God, we're told. They waited to see what would happen next. They waited. There was no signs of what to do next. There was no direction. There was no words to fall back on. The story was being written as they waited. Do you ever get the feeling this morning that God waits to see what we do. Do you ever get the feeling that God waits to see what we will do? To see if we'll run. To see if we'll seek him. To see if we'll trust him. Or even see if we'll wait in him. The scriptures tell us very, very clearly, seek the Lord while he still can be found. While it's possible, we're to trust the Lord with all our hearts. I wonder if he waits to see if we will call upon his name in times of trouble. Jesus is dead, laid in a tomb. It seems that the story is being written as they wait. But it's not the end of the story. God knows, as we've already said, God knows the ending to the story. They would crucify him. They would hide him. But they can't stop him from rising. Death cannot hold him. Hell cannot contain him. The devil cannot influence him. The earth cannot keep him. God hasn't finished. The story is being written. Jesus has not gone missing. God has not gone silent. The battle has been won. The price has been paid. Death has not won. The story is not finished this morning. How's your faith this morning? How's your faith this morning?
The third reading is from Luke 24:13-21. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place."
Thank you, Beth. So we've heard about his death, how silence comes around a tomb. Silence is never easy. Did anybody experience that when I didn't say an awful lot? Silence is always awkward. It isn't easy to break. And in the breaking of our silence, we need to be very, very careful. There's never a right way to break silence. Our words need to be very carefully chosen. And silence happens for many reasons. Confusion can cause it. Disappointment can bring it. Misunderstanding can encourage it. Feeling alone, feeling on the outside. All reasons that silence would come. Our reading this morning from Beth. Peter had already ran. The disciples were scattered. Some have looked and some have seen. Picture the scene this morning outside the tomb. Feel the silence. Feel the awkwardness of everything that's happening. Think back to how hard it is to find words in these moments. What should I do? And what should I say? Words just don't fit. Actions feel inadequate. Moments where we say nothing and do nothing just seem to be right. We see two men walking along a road. They're walking in the opposite direction of where they should be going. A stranger meets with them, we're told. He walks with them and he talks with them. He asks them a question. What is wrong? The reply comes, "Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Where have you been? It's an incredible thought, isn't it? That sometimes God would hide. We're told that they did not recognize him. Jesus, in some ways, hidden yet visible. Think about this. Jesus was walking with them, and he was having a conversation with them for miles. Think about leaving the place that you should have been. Think about turning your back where it all happened. Think about this journey. Think about your journey. What direction are you going in? Consider the journey this morning. Consider all that's going on, and maybe these two men like you and me, instead of it staying in the place that they should have been, they were maybe waiting until things changed. Maybe waiting until things calmed down a wee bit. Maybe just get a wee bit more comfortable until you turn in the right direction. And whatever direction you're going this morning, here's the beautiful thought in all of this. Jesus meets them where they are. He meets them in the direction that they're heading. God meets us where we are, even when we turn our backs on him. Isn't that a beautiful thought this morning? Jesus meets us exactly where we are, even when we're walking in the opposite direction. It's the picture in our reading. It's the message of the cross. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. That Jesus would come away for me this morning. Jesus asked these two men, what are you saying? What are you talking about? And it says that they stood with their faces downcast. It's easy to see God when things are going well, isn't it? It's so easy. But when things don't make sense, to forget all that was promised, to believe and yet to doubt, to see and yet to hear, but not recognize who was speaking to them. They believed and they hoped. They were sure that he was the one. But we only see part of the story. Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Why didn't they see the scars on his head from the thorns? Why didn't they see the nail prints in his hands and his feet? Thomas would need to touch him to believe. He would need to see to believe. He would need evidence to believe. But why could they not see? Why did they not recognize Jesus on the road? There's nothing worse this morning than knowing Jesus and keep missing him. Sure there's not. There's nothing worse than knowing him and yet keep missing him. Why didn't they even recognize his voice? Why could they not see? And why did they not know? And why could they not hear? Was it the voice that stilled the winds? Was it the voice that spoke to the waves? Wasn't it the voice that spoke to the stars to be formed? Wasn't it the voice that made the oceans? Wasn't it the voice that made the sky and the night and the day? The voice that spoke forgiveness? The voice that healed the sick? The voice that asked, God reveals himself to you and me this morning, and yet we keep missing him. See, to experience him from what others say is one thing, isn't it? But to know him personally, to recognize him when he speaks to us, to see those scars and to thank him this morning, to look at the cross and be grateful this morning, to know him through his sufferings this morning, to experience him at our lowest points. God met with them even while they were traveling in the opposite direction. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you, like them, are heading in the wrong direction. Maybe in some ways turning your back on him. Do you really know him? Is the question. Do you need to see the scars to believe in him? It's Easter Sunday morning, and it's all about direction this morning. Direction to trust him. direction to believe in him, direction to know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. This morning is a reminder that Jesus walks with us and he talks with us. But can we recognize him? Do we know him? Can we hear him? Can we see him? Or do we need evidence? Luke 24 says these words. But on the first day of the week, early dawn, they came to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed down and their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." You see, this morning, and I know we're quiet this morning, but we're going to stand to sing, "He has risen this morning." Can you see him? He has risen this morning. Can you see him? He's alive. Yes. Do you know him this morning? It's a brilliant question to ask even those that have been traveling for years. He's alive. He has left the grave. Do you know him this morning? He has risen. Do you believe in him? Do you trust him? Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? You see, the disciples could only speak of what they saw. They saw his death. They saw his burial. To see is one thing, but to experience is another thing, isn't it? To experience his resurrection. To be the living amongst all that's dying. To give hope, to bring light into the darkness. To know our place amongst the living this morning. Because he has risen, we get to live this morning. Jesus Christ has risen this morning. And he sits now at the right hand of the Father. That should give us a hallelujah this morning. Come on, that should get us going a wee bit.